for the underdog.
Yes, sir.
He's never the underdog. Yes, sir. Final four now.
What's up, Duke fans? Welcome to the Devil's Den podcast. I'm your host, Josh Smith, joined by my co-host, Raul and Shu. Had the pleasure of me and Shu got to go to ACC Media Day here in Charlotte. So figured we'd talk a little bit about that, our experiences. Kind of got to sit down and talk with Coach Shire, Jeremy Roach, and Jacob Grandison. So before we get into some of the interview stuff and some of the questions that we talked with them, I figured we would just kind of process it a little bit. Before I go, I guess, Shu, what stood out to you about the experience? What was kind of your overall takeaway?
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, being our first time, it was a great experience. Shout to Brandon Marks. We met him first when we got in there, and he kind of gave us the lay of the land and made us feel a little bit comfortable getting to know where we need to be. But yeah, just was impressed with the whole working of it. The transitions were smooth from bringing players in, going from station to station, talking with the different media, whether it be radio, TV, or whatnot. I was just impressed by how it was all the operations of it.
I was impressed by just how, like, kind of cool everyone was there. You know, like, we're coming in, obviously it was our first time. And not that you get starstruck by it, but you feel a little bit out of your lane. Well, definitely I did, you know.
Sure,
And so first, like you said, shouts to Brendan Marks, like seeing him right out the gate, just showed us where to go, made us not look like idiots, you know, kind of walked us through. But other than that, like everyone, like Coach Shire, we saw him and Mike DeGeorge as soon as we got there, shook our hands, ran into Jay Billis, super nice. Shu got to talk with Bucky Waters for a while. Probably the coolest thing, though, for me is when we ran into Mike Bray. So we're coming back in and Mike Bray's basically being doorman out there. He's just chilling outside. So we probably sat there and talked to him for about like 10 minutes about Duke's Final Four runs.
Bonzi Colson kicking our ass.
Bonzi Colson giving us the
What do you have to say about that?
He said he's in Israel or somewhere now.
So. Okay.
You know, he talked about like
he didn't apologize.
No apologies. But he was super nice. Like you would have thought that we were friends with the guy. The way he just kind of just sat there and talked to us, you got a picture with us, held the door for us, right? Like he was just super cool, dude. Boeheim definitely looked unapproachable, as you might would expect. You know, didn't go up to him or anything, but ran into Randolph Childress like several times, and he was just sitting there kind of talking to us, hanging out. I bumped into Greenberg kind of like briefly. He was really nice, really cool. So just everyone was not maybe some of the persona that you thought you would have gotten. Probably stood out to me. I don't know if you kind of picked up on that, Shu, or what your thoughts were about that, but
yeah, no, that's the same thing. Like everybody was just nice and cordial. You know, the coaches, obviously, you want to respect their time. I said something to Jeff Capel just walking beside him. I mentioned that I wish I would have worn my Ninth Wonder KD shoes because I know that him and Ninth Wonder were good friends. And he kind of just laughed. And but just everybody from, you know, especially John. John seemed really approachable. Like you said, he extended his hand to shake our hands, which was kind of surreal for a moment there. You're like, you don't want to be fanboy starstruck, but you're like, I'm shaking the coach of Duke basketball's hand right now. And it was just a good time. Like everybody was just super nice.
I've never been more cognizant of how like short 5'10 is though. Right. Like I'm in there and I'm just like, holy crap. Everyone here is like 6'4", 6'5", or up, And it's just like, I am just micro walking around.
That's crazy. Cause I don't even think of Shire as tall, but
he's 6'5".
Yeah. Yeah.
And one of the other guys, Josh and I kept looking at like, where do we know this guy from? And I was thinking he played basketball at Louisville or Miami as one of these guys. It turned out it was Trey Boston from the Carolina Panthers. He's a host on one of the ACC network shows.
He looks sharply dressed. I saw
He was sharply dressed. He had this sweet Travis Scott shoes on. Yeah. I gave him props on his outfit. He was definitely suited and booted.
I guess when you got that NFL money, you're
good to go with that. Okay. Yeah.
Were you guys nervous at all asking questions? I would have been when you're sitting there with a bunch of media.
Yeah, like we were in the main ballroom for like the 15 minute. Like John's up there with Jeremy and Jacob, and it's open floor. They're just asking if you have questions, and we let everybody ask. And I think it was like 2 minutes left, and nobody wanted to ask another question. So sucked the throw up into my mouth and asked the question and just, you know, was lucky I didn't stumble over my name, you know, because you got to identify yourself. You know, I'm Dustin Chu with the Devil's Den, and at least got that part right.
Which question was that?
I asked Jeremy what the difference between John last year and this year was, and he kind of gave us the run of the mill.
Well, people can check out that that main interview anyway. So
Duke men's basketball page, right. They put that up. And you got in that main presser, you got a lot of your kind of just. Yep. Hammer at home, you know, these guys, you can tell these guys are well trained, they're well educated on how to say things, how to, you know, what to give. The breakouts were a little bit better because you could kind of get one-on-one and ask a little more of a personal question. Even then though, you know, it's media, right? So they're gonna you're gonna get a certain response. But all the Duke guys were super nice, super approachable.
I feel like Shire is maybe a little bit more by the book with his answers than Kay was. Maybe it's just because he hasn't been in office, so to speak, for 40 years.
Yeah, I thought the best thing that John kind of said was he responded at one point to someone asking him about, like, you know, how's it going to be different from K? What's going to look best? And he kind of responded, because he's probably heard this a lot. But he's like, you know, it's not so much about being different just for the sake of being different.
Right.
Right. He's like, I hope a lot of it's the same. You know, we want to win. So I hope a lot of that comes. But he's like, it's really just more about, like, who do we have on this roster? How do we maximize these guys? You know, he talked about lineup flexibility, being able to play really big, really small. And we'll get into a little bit more of that in a second. But, you know, you're going to get pretty stock answers for most of these parts. I was just impressed by how approachable they were off podium. You know, I kind of figured they'd be swarmed up, and to an extent they were, but you know, they'd stop and talk to you. But again, maybe that's because they don't want a bad article written or something, a bad press too. So, you know,
you were saying that, Roach seemed a little more comfortable maybe than Grandison.
Yeah. I thought so.
I did too. You know, I thought that he was, I don't know if it was just comfortable or just demeanor or personality or whatever. When I was sitting over there with Jacob, though, he was getting a little bit kind of weird questions too, you know, like people were just asking him things just like really off the cuff. But he also really elaborated on like his journey and how he's like, I didn't even play in high school. Like I just worked out. So he's like, you know, I can't really sit here and tell you that Duke was the goal. You know, he's like, I went to high school, went to Holy Cross. I played at all these different levels. In the Big Ten, and now I'm here. So the big thing that I took away from that, though, is dude just wants to win. Like he doesn't care about anything else. And we'll talk about it a little bit later. He was not impressed by my analytics question tooling, but dude just wants to win. Seems really coachable too. So
yeah, just really seems like a really smart kind of cerebral guy.
Yeah, for sure.
And one of the questions, I can't remember who asked it. I think they asked it to Jeremy, but it was a good question. They had mentioned, you know, last year was, there was a lot of pressure on him because it was K's last whatever, you know, K's last game here, K's last game there, this whatever that was. He asked them if they thought that it would be similar this year because it's John's first this and John's first that. And Jeremy gave like kind of the stock answer, but I think it doesn't hold quite as much weight as K's last with John's first. You know, he's hopefully going to coach for a good number of years. I mean, I'm sure the end goal is for him to coach 30 or 40 years, just like Coach K did. So the first doesn't really hold as much weight, in my opinion. But I think that is something that they will. Hey, this is John's first time going into the Dean Dome, right? So they will have a little bit of that.
It's going to come up all year with announcers, at least.
Oh, yeah,
I don't know how much the team will talk about it internally. You know, since John is a K disciple, I imagine he has that kind of stay in the moment mentality and don't let that kind of external stuff distract you and don't compare yourself to other teams.
Yeah.
I imagine he's kind of preach the same thing there.
Yeah. Jeremy mentioned that, you know, in my question to him that, you know, what he's been harping on himself is that there's going to be some noise from the outside, maybe some criticisms, but you kind of have to let that stuff roll off and just, you know, stay focused in on the end goal.
Yeah. And I thought the best takeaway from Shire was when he started talking about the team. And I think we have the clip where he's talking about like using Roach and Proctor and pick and roll, which is something we've been a little, I don't know, critical of, but just something that we thought we could see more of and benefit more out of. Raul, do you have that clip? We'll go ahead and play that where he's talking about that.
We have a different kind of team. And I don't mean that in a positive way. I mean, we can play a very unique style this year where it's, you know, we're not going to be a post-up team. We just don't have those kinds of players. And, you know, you have, you know, Jeremy Roach and Tyrese Proctor and pick and roll be really good. We're going to put them in pick and roll.
Yeah, so did that get you guys excited? It got me excited.
Absolutely. When I heard that, I was like, that makes one, we're not going to be a pick and roll, or we're not going to be a post-up team. So understanding that while we have bigs, you know, Lively, Flip, and well, probably Young's probably Young, the most comfortable yeah. with back to the basket. But I think, you know, Flip and especially Lively, it's not really where they're going to make their living, you know? And so to hear him talking about using pick and roll, especially for Jeremy to get into the lane, but more importantly for me, I think Proctor in the pick and roll is going to be where he's his most efficient. So I don't know kind of what y'all took away from that, but that gets me really excited about the offense. So, you know, hopefully that's going to come to fruition and we'll see a lot of that. I think the other thing we got to talk to Shire about, she asked a question about Jaden Shoot, who we don't hear a whole lot about. I mean, when you do, it's usually positive things. But I think, Shu, what did you ask? It was something about kind of the comparisons between himself and Jaden, or, you know, what he saw in him as a player or something.
Yeah, I mean, actually, that was it was the question that that you gave me, I think, in the car. We were kind of talking about it, and you're like, you know, I wonder if he saw a little bit of himself in Jaden when he was recruiting him. So I asked John about that.
Coach, when you were recruiting Jaden Shu, did you see a little bit of yourself in his game? Because when I see him play, that's who he reminds me of.
Yeah, you know, Jaden is, he's got this great belief in himself. And I think that's what's similar, you know, it's who I was as a player. And he never stops competing. He's always moving. And, you know, he's can jump a lot higher than I did. I think he's a lot better shooter than I was. But, you know, I'm proud of the development that he's had and his belief in us. And we had that same belief in him. But he's going to be a really good player for us.
I like the little self-deprecating humor in there too, a little bit.
Yeah, so I thought it was funny. That was the first time I've ever heard John be kind of humble about something like, oh, he's a better shooter than I am. I don't know if John actually thinks that. It's the thing that you have to say. But if he does think that Jaden's a better shooter than him, we got a hell of a player on our hands.
If that's who Jaden Shoot is, he'll have his jersey retired.
Yeah.
But right. if he's a better shooter than John and more athletic, then I guess we're looking at like sophomore Grayson Allen or something. Yeah, I mean, you know,
John only scored a measly, 2,000 points in a career. Right. So, you know, I'll take another one of those.
With John, it wasn't that he was this like 43% 3-point shooter, though. I mean, he was like kind of 37, 38%. It was how cerebral he was, never turned the ball over, and his shot selection was immaculate.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the stones a little bit from Shire too, right? Yeah. Like he seemed to, even if he was slumping or whatever, like he just seemed to hit some big ones, you know, the Georgia Tech one comes to mind. But let's talk a little bit and transition to Jeremy Roach. So obviously he's the team captain, the only one named. Jacob was brought with him. So, you know, it's a lot of times at Duke, we have had this kind of triumvirate of captains, or there's usually multiple. But, you know, we're going back to just one, which I think can be good because you're coming from one person. And what I like the most about it is it's not just one captain, but it's your starting point guard, the guy that's going to have the ball, the guy that's going to play a lot for you. You know, no disrespect to guys like Joey Baker or, you know, Javon or guys that Jack White that have been Jack named White. Captain by some of the just leadership qualities they have. But I think for Jeremy, being able to be that guy on the floor and off, it's just going to be huge for us. And so, you know, I think Shu asked a question for Jeremy kind of about that a little bit, but, you know, what has he taken from former point guards at Duke, guys that come before him? We talked to him about Quinn a little bit and what the NBA guys are kind of telling him in terms of what it means to be a leader at Duke.
I think you're the first point guard to be here as a junior since Quinn. When the guys come back from the NBA to come in over the summer, are they talking to you, giving you encouragement, telling you, you know, how to be the leader on this team?
For sure. I mean, just piggyback off what you said about Quinn, we have Coach K's camp, the K Academy. I mean, he was there just harping on me like it's a separation year. This is your year. This is your big year. Like you gotta be that voice. You gotta be that leader, and you gotta really not care what nobody says, like, because you gotta be that guy.
It's funny that he mentioned that, because I did notice that when I saw the like photos of K Academy and some of the video, you'd always see Quinn and Roach in the background there.
Yeah. And one thing I did want to mention wasn't exactly true. Quinn was, or I should say that Jeremy's our first junior back since Goldwire, actually, I guess.
Right.
Goldwire was technically a point guard in here for 4 years. I was just thinking, like, you know, Tyus left after a year, Trayvon left.
First highly ranked, put it that way.
First highly ranked player to have come back for a junior year. So as a point guard, lead point guard.
That's a lot of similarities in their careers too, a little bit thus far, right? You know, Roach really kind of struggled as a freshman. It was a really weird season too. You know, Quinn is pretty famous for talking about, like, them bringing him in his freshman year, talking about his body language, what he was doing on the bench. You know, I would also say that another similarity that's maybe a little unfortunate, they weren't really maximized in terms of how they were utilized, you know, those first year or two. Quinn definitely in year two, but then kind of went back in year three until his senior year. But I think that stands out a lot, just the parallels of you know, their careers a little bit, and now it's his turn to be a leader and what that means. And obviously, he had a huge Final Four. And so I was hoping to get to ask him about that. Didn't really get to, but I think he talked a little bit about it in the main presser. But, you know, when you're hot, it's like you want to keep going. And so how do you go from, like, channeling, especially in the regional, how just on fire he was, and then you take a 4, 5, 6 month break, and how do you come back and be that guy? I think that's going to be the biggest question. I'm curious kind of what y'all think about that in terms of how he channels that run into a full season.
I wonder if being the, you know, the elder statesman on the team could help him there, because he doesn't have anybody really that he kind of feels like he's competing against. He is like the lone dog in terms of upperclassmen, and just that kind of status that gives him could almost instill more confidence.
Yeah. He's the old bull, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I agree. I think, you know, I think he understands that this is what he has to do. This is his team to have to kind of make sure that everybody's on the right page, especially being the lone guy, the lone returners. Obviously, we got Jalen Blakes, but he played, I think it was less than 100 minutes total last year. So just hopefully Jeremy can lead the freshmen and the new faces in the right direction.
And I like that he, you know, has two guards in key coaching positions to kind of mentor him, you know, between John Shire and Jay Lucas. So again, that could be helpful too.
Yeah. And he even talks about that too. I asked him a question about Jay Lucas and kind of how that was coming up. But before we play that real quick, I think it's also worth noting of just how thankful we are that Jeremy's even here. Mm-hmm. You know, you're the only guy coming back, really. You don't have to, you know, you can transfer and play anywhere right away. And so obviously there's a lot of pressure. You lose your coach too. So, you know, regardless of how the season plays out, I think for me, it's just, I'm all in on Jeremy. So and
not just, you know, transferring either. Like, I mean, yes, he had no draft stock, but that hasn't stopped some other guys.
Right. Absolutely. Right. For sure.
No, and I agree, because we've talked about it before that we went through that spell where we would only have a point guard for 1 year. That's hard to get consistency when the head guy, with your point guard, your quarterback, is constantly a revolving door. So to have this guy as a junior, it feels like he's been here, Perry Ellis, like 6 years or something now.
Well, let's go back and we'll play that clip where we ask him about Jay Lucas and his impact.
What about Jay Lucas, Jeremy? What does he bring, and how has that been different and getting to know him more?
I mean, Jay, he's coolest dude you'll meet. Chill, but he's gonna expect a lot from you. We can joke off the court, but when we get on the court, it's all serious. It's all work. So I mean, that's one thing I love about him. He's about the work, and he's a point guard, so he's giving me all types of game that I need for me to even better on him.
Yeah, it was kind of that last part that I focused on. You know, it's cool that he's a cool guy, but you know, the point guard mentorship, I think, is going to be huge for him.
Yeah. And just not just that too, but that demeanor is kind of like what you want from your leaders too, right? Like, we can hang out, we can go to the movies, we can go do whatever. But when we get in between the lines, when we're on the court, like, it's about business. And so when you send that message to the team, hopefully that's what Jeremy can do too, right? Be this cool guy, laid back, friends with everybody. But when we're on the floor,
right,
it's a different, here's the standard. So.
I saw somebody said that JJ on his pod mentioned Jay Lucas the other day. Did you guys see that?
Yeah, he talked about training him then right. when he was in Houston. Yeah.
Yeah, so I didn't know that till the other day, and that's yeah. really cool to hear. Like, that could be huge for our player development if he's good enough where JJ is going to him, of all people.
Yeah, no doubt, right? I mean, if that's who he's working with.
Right. I mean, JJ's 10 years his senior and one of yeah. the greatest shooters ever, and yet he's going to Jay Lucas to get training.
Yep.
And I know John Lucas was supposed to be, you know, renowned for player development as well, so maybe it's kind of runs in the family there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which JJ is only, what, like 5 years older than Jay, right? Because Jay was
in. Yeah, I'm exaggerating.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Gotcha. I don't think JJ's not like 45.
Yeah, not yet.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, I mean, and I think the other thing, you know, Roach talked about it a little bit, just the overall buzz around the program. We had Brandon Marks on a week or so ago, and he talked about that too. And I think that's going to be a huge thing to try to carry forward to, right? Like, how do we sustain that? Roach, do we have a clip where Roach is talking about that a little bit?
I think you were mentioning to us over the summer that when Coach Kamen walked into the practice gym, you guys were also really snapped to attention. And obviously, he had a military background. Like, how is that different now, John? It seems like there's maybe a looser atmosphere around the program.
Right now, obviously, I've been coached by Coach K for the past 2 years, so I've learned so much from him and about him. Like I said, Coach Shire, he's pretty much the same way. Come in locked in every practice, no shortcuts. He's gonna tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. So,
John yelled yo to get your attention.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
So he's learned a lot from Coach.
I admit, I mostly put that in there for the good joke that you got off.
Yeah.
Yo, 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 yo. I had to give you your moment in the sun there.
I appreciate it. Yeah. He did. Jeremy got a chuckle out of that. Yeah.
It's interesting to hear because I feel like Roach stressed that multiple times that the atmosphere wasn't that different. That, you know, it seems like John can be kind of a strict, not disciplinarian, maybe. I guess the real difference we'll see is like on how things are handled after a loss or after a disappointing performance.
Yeah. 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 Brandon asked him, you know, if John's had to drop the hammer on him in practice so far. And he kind of laughed. He's like, yeah, he's had to get on us a couple times, you know. But he asked him if it was, you know, different than how Coach K would, language wise. He said, yeah, it was a little different.
Yeah. Cause I know Brendan mentioned that he was writing an article about this, about the kind of the change in atmosphere. And we've heard John Watson mention it too, but the players seemed to almost downplay it, which I thought was interesting, or at least Roach was.
I mean, I guess for them, it's about work, right? Like right. The atmosphere is like, I'm coming in here to accomplish a goal. Maybe it's the atmosphere throughout the department as a whole, you know, the staff and everything. It's just a little bit lighter mood, maybe.
And just delivery. I just have a hard time, even just watching that Redeem team documentary. I have a hard time picturing John sitting there saying, like, I'm not effing losing again. You'll have to effing shoot me, you know? Like, that just doesn't seem natural coming from him. But maybe it is, you know, maybe he does get in there and, you know, even if that's not his personality, I think guys like Sewell, Emil, they're pretty, you know, comfortable in that space. So, you know, I think we do have a lot of good voices in the program, which makes it huge to bring Jay in too, just to have that other perspective on what's going on. But it'll be interesting to see, you know, what is the vibe around the program? What's the vibe within the program over this next year? So, you know, practice atmosphere is one thing. What happens if we, you know, take a 30 piece to Arizona or something, right? Then it'll be a little bit different to see how he manages that. But all right, let's talk a little bit about Jacob Grennison. For me, I think it's just, you know, I assumed that he was being made a captain because he was being brought. And Brandon said, you know, that's not quite the case, but I still think it speaks volumes about who he is, his character, his coachability, what he brings to the team. To even be brought here, you could have brought a Jalen Blake. You could have brought, you know, really anybody. But for it to be Jacob, I think that says something about him. And so let's talk a little bit then, I guess, for you all. We got a clip, but what do you think his value is going to be to this Duke team?
Ultimate kind of glue guy, right? you know, maybe I'm not saying he'll be exactly the same level as a player as Matt Jones. I actually think he'll be a little bit better, but just that kind of player that you can plug in a lineup and isn't going to be hunting shots, isn't going to get mad if he doesn't get a shot. He's just going to, you know, play his role, make the right pass, take his wide open threes, play good defense.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think, you know, I just took away his ultimate will to win. I think, like you said, he doesn't really care about the accolades, anything of that. He's just going to do whatever it takes to come away with a W. And you need guys like that. That's your Lance Thomases and your Mills and guys that just do the dirty work.
Yeah, you can only have like so many people in the starting lineup who have 30% usage.
Yep.
So, mm-hmm. you know, I could see a scenario where we end up going with Grandison simply because there's not enough ball to go around, you know, between Roach and Whitehead and Mitchell. And, you know, obviously there's a lot of different combinations we could play, but just having that guy who can just kind of exist within the habitat, within the environment, and not kind of shape the game to his skills, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, and he can fit in any lineup we want to play, right? Right. We're big, small, whatever. He's a guy that you can just plug in and just he fits with all of these guys. Well, let's play the clip on to hear from him on what he brings to the team.
Good question. So earlier in the other conference, they were asking Shire about, oh, how is he going to play, like the old way or a new way? And his answer was, we're going to play the way we need to play with what we got. And I think that translates to my answer a little bit because I'm a pretty adaptive basketball player. Like the entire time I'm trying to figure out what I need to do to win. So obviously I'm a shoot, I'm a pass, I'm a dribble, you know, but in terms of your question, like I'm going to do anything it takes to win, whether I'm starting, whether I'm on the bench, whether I'm playing this amount, that amount. I'm just there to capitalize on opportunities and like literally I'm only thinking about winning.
I mean, that pretty much says it, right? I mean, and it's hard to, you can't see him here, but like, he's almost intimidating. You want to talk about strong face? Jacob's got a strong face. Yeah, dude is locked in. I mean, he wanted to win the press conference. Like, he wanted to win the answer, and you'll see it a little bit later, like with my question, but he just wants to win. And like, that was it, like just point blank.
Yeah, and the picture that the Duke social media posted, Josh and I were in, it was in the main stage press conference. So Josh and I are in it because we're sitting in like the second or third row. It looks like Jacob's like just looking like right through me, like he's going to come stab me for something. It was weird, but does definitely strong face.
Yeah. And which, you know, it also speaks to, I think, who he's going to be as a leader too, of just the same guy every day, right? Just consistency, willing to make whatever play, you know, he kind of jokes, you know, obviously I'm going to pass, dribble and shoot. Right. But that it doesn't matter to him. I don't think like it doesn't matter what his role is. His role is to win. And so you always need those guys. It doesn't hurt that he's 24.
Yeah.
And so he's been through it at all levels. And so that's a unique perspective, I think, that he brings of you're playing the D2 team or you're playing that mid-major. Well, he played on that team. Let me tell you about how hungry these guys are. Let me tell you, they're not scared to come in here. They're not as scared to give you this work. Oh, we're playing Illinois. Let me tell you about these guys, right? Like he has that.
And that's one thing I did want to hit on. Like, look, we've been blessed that we're able to recruit these really highly elite, you know, top 5-star freshmen. Sometimes you think those guys, not that they're prima donnas, but they've had a lot of stuff kind of given to him. This guy is not that. He's gotten everything out the dirt, man. This guy, like they said, he's got it out of the mud. So you talk about having a dog mentality. I think that's what this guy's going to have. And it might be the hungriest player we've ever had come through the program. Mm. Jordan Goldwire, same thing, right? Like
right.
A guy that had to fight and claw for everything he ever got.
I mean, he gives me obviously different, completely different player types, but he gives me Theo John vibes.
Well, and I think that's a good observation because Theo didn't come last year to, you know, a lot of guys transfer, they want to come in and be the star, be the man somewhere. Theo came in because he wanted to win, right? He wanted to get on a winning team. And and I think Jacob's, you know, making that same bet. He wants to come in and win.
Right. Well, I guess the difference is Jacob already was on a winning team. He just wanted to go almost to an even higher level of winning.
Right. Sure.
But I love that, just the fact that he's been on a legit good team and performed well on that team. He's a known quantity.
Yeah.
It's not like some other transfers we've gotten where it's like Sean Obi or something, like, yeah, his advanced stats look great. What a rebounder. And then he can't even get on the court.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if you had Theo John's demeanor with Matt Jones's game, you probably have something right around Jacob Grandison. You know, that's about what we're and if we get a combination of that, we're going to get a hell of a player.
That'd be amazing. So,
yeah, I'll take it. I think we also asked him too a little bit, you know, about what it means, how to be a leader in a new environment, with the new group. You're coming in, you're the old guy, but you're also still the new guy. And so he talked a little bit about that. I think we have a clip where he's talking about just leadership in a different environment. So we'll play that right quick.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not even really thinking about it. I'm just being me. I feel like I do lead by example. I try to live my day and do everything I can the right way. And I'm not really here to yell at you. I'm trying to get you to, you know what I'm saying? I'm a lead by example, and I'm a have a positive spirit about it, and bring everyone I can with me.
So consistency again, right? Just the same guy, make, miss, whatever. You know, we talk about the strong face a lot, and I think that just encapsulates who he is. You know, he just doesn't ride waves. You know, he's just steady, knows who he is, comfortable in his role, comfortable in what he can provide, what he brings to the team. You know, you put him and Roach together, and I know we're really young, and it's a completely new group, but I think you put those guys along with what Ryan Young, Catchings, and Max John, it's a different level of toughness. And I think Seth Greenberg even asked Shire in one of their clips about, you know, there's a difference between playing hard and competing. And these guys, I think, can show some of the freshmen of like, yo, you're playing hard, but not at our standard, not hard enough, right? This is what it means to compete on this level. Everyone's coming in here to take your lunch money, you know? And so you need these blue collar guys, and Jacob Grandison might be the definition of that for us.
Well, I mean, that's the difference between like last year's Duke team and the 2014 team, for example. 2014 team is just as talented, better offensive team, but they didn't really have any of those kind of tough-minded characters. You know, I'm not disparaging people. I love Parker and I love Andre Dawkins and a lot of those guys, but there was a kind of leadership vacuum. There was kind of, you know, I think moving, you know, Quinn off the ball really hurt that too, but he might not have been ready to take that next step as a leader. But yeah, so you see, like last year's team was just, I don't think that they were one of our best Final Four teams, but they had that level of toughness that is kind of required to fight through some stuff. I mean, how many times did it look like we were down and out in the tournament?
Yeah, Michigan State, you know,
Texas Tech,
you know, both of those games could have ended and we could have went home early. But you had a guy like Roach in both games, ironically, that just kind of, we're not losing, you know, not tonight. Wish it could have went two more, but you know, hey, it's, you bring that guy back and just for the culture, you can't really put a value on that. And even if Roach plays well and leaves after this year, well, then he instills that in a Jaden Shute. He instills that. And, you know, who knows what Mark Mitchell and Proctor and some of these other guys are going to do. But it becomes contagious, you know. So hopefully for John and for Coach Shire that they can start to really cultivate that again. It'd be nice to have a little more continuity. But I guess go ahead.
I was just going to say, Josh, I hate to do it to you, but I got to play the clip where Jacob shuts you down.
Hey, give me the 316.
No time for your analytics.
Nope, not impressed whatsoever.
Yeah, what's it like playing with Tyrese and Jeremy? Obviously, you're a prolific shooter. Right corner's been kind of a money spot for you. What's that like playing with two guys like that that really can move the ball around?
Yeah, Jerm's kind of a true steady point guard. Very comfortable with the ball in his hands. Like I'm comfortable with him having the ball in his hands. Him and Tyrese are a little different in the way that they probe the game a little bit. could be Australian kind of FIBA FIBA thing in terms of style differences. But now Tyrese is good too. He's a hell of a player for sure. We got a lot of good players.
Just a follow up. So, you know, you shoot 59% from the right corner. You know that the defense knows that. How do you still get to those spots sometimes when that's kind of where you want to be, where they want to keep you from? How do you find that in the offense?
Executing and trusting what coach tells me.
Simple as that.
He's like, I just ball, bro.
Yeah, I execute. I listen to coach. I play basketball. Yeah. I was trying to get him to come out, you know, I was like, all right, yeah, I know this dude's stats, like, but that just speaks to, like, he doesn't care about that, right? Like, if I was hoping, like, oh, you know, 59% from the right corner, like, he didn't raise his eyebrows, didn't smile, just like, dude, that's historically good. Like, that's like a ridiculous percentage, doesn't care.
Yeah, I wonder if he knows it or not, you know?
Hopefully, I mean, you would think that they were doing some analytic driven stuff.
And he does now. Stay your ass in the right corner, bro.
I mean, I'm sure he does on some level. Like, there's, I mean, he, like I said earlier, he seems like a kind of brainy, cerebral guy. He might be downplaying it there, but.
Well, and maybe it just speaks to the next play mentality. Right. Like, I shot 59%, but if I don't shoot 59% now, who cares? Yeah, you know, like, what's it matter if I go out there and I'm 0-for-14 to start or like whatever? But even if you weren't aware that those are his true numbers from the right corner. Mm. So, you know, anytime we're going to have two bigs, a lot on the floor, even if it's a Mark Mitchell playing the four, we're still going to have kind of bigger guys. So to have a guy like that, that's just going to be lights out from a spot. We haven't really had a whole lot of that in recent years. So it's nice to kind of get back to that a little bit.
Yeah. And to stress, he's not bad from other areas on the court either. It's not like he's shooting 20% elsewhere. Yeah. I think that like left corner was like 45%. He's really good from the corners, but even from like the top of the key and stuff, like nothing was below like 35%. He's an elite shooter for sure, at least in that catch and shoot kind of context.
Yeah. I mean, it was interesting to hear him talk a little bit about the differences between Jeremy and Tyrese. He didn't really get into it, but there did seem to be a little bit of like, Roach must have really be showing just his abilities on ball, running the offense, getting to spots, knowing where guys are. Not that Tyrese isn't there, but it would make sense if he's not quite in the understanding of where Jacob needs the ball or where Mark wants this pass or, you know, where's Lively going to go off this down screen or whatever. Whereas Roach might just be a little more ahead of the game, which, you know, he's 3 years older, so it makes sense.
Yeah, what do you call him, like a pure point guard or something like that? Which was interesting to me because I don't think of Roach that way, but hopefully he's developing that.
Yeah, I mean, I think, and I've said this kind of a while just because they remind me of each other in terms of just stature, girth to use a, you know, acreage to use a GOAT, the greatest of all talk reference. But Roach to me is like the Kyle Lowry, you know, like I just see a lot of similarities in their game. You know, Lowry's a lead guard. He can get some assists, but he really is a aggressive point guard, right? He's got the 3-point shot. He likes to get into the lane. The mid range for Lowry has always been a money shot. Same for Jeremy. So, you know, if we can get a little Kyle Lowry out of him, I think that'll be put us in a pretty good spot.
Yeah. Hopefully he can play defense like Lowry. That would be nice. Or at least flop like Lowry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, remember when Lowry had 3 flops in the All-Star game? Sorry, I know I'm getting off track, but
yeah, maybe not so much as that. But unless we're gonna get the call, if you get the call, I don't care what you.
All right, yeah. You want to get him hated? That's a good way to do it, right?
Yep. But you know, either way, that kind of wraps up a little bit of our media day experience. Obviously, shout out to John Watson, Adam Rowe, hooking us up with the press passes to get out there. Really, really cool experience. You know, I definitely remember that. I still got the little badge hanging up over here. Hopefully we get to go back and do it again, get some familiarity with what's going on and get to meet a lot of people. So, you know, it's always cool. Weston was really nice. Everyone was just super hospitable too. You know, gave us lunch, anything you want, which you're in the same space as these guys who probably expect that anyway. But, you know, for us, it was kind of nice. I don't know if you have any kind of final thoughts about that before we kind of transition.
Yeah, no, I mean, like you said, just well done, well run. Even the lobby, like walking into the lobby, they got the ACC like court logo on the ground and all the mannequins with the women's and the men's jerseys on all of them. So yeah, just a nice experience, and yeah, hopefully won't be the last one.
For sure, for sure. Well, before we get out of here, we just kind of wanted to just briefly kind of touch on Countdown to Craziness that's coming up next week. Not going to do like a there's not really any way to do really a preview of this, right? It's Duke playing Duke. So it's, you know, we're all going to see these guys kind of in action for the first real time in a non-edited way. So that'll be kind of interesting to see. Shu, I know you kind of had a little stuff you wanted to get into for CTC. So where you want to take this? I know you had some intros you want to talk about, who you got.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, just have a little fun with it. Obviously, CTC is the, you know, the opening for basketball season, and it's a fun event. You know, they do sketches and, you know, a couple things, and then obviously they get to the, what is it, like a 20-minute scrimmage. So I just wanted to kind of ask you guys, obviously, Smitty, you and I have been, Raul, I believe the first time I ever met Raul, we were going to CTC. Do you got any favorite moments, standout moments, or favorite intros? You know, Smitty, I'll throw it off to you first.
Well, my favorite one, and just because of like the city connection and just because I just love him as a player, probably Justice coming out to Riff Raff. So Houston rapper, Justice yes. is from Houston. Like the moment that happened, like, I don't know how many people were tuned into that, but like, and just the swagger that Justice had. So I'll throw that one out there. And obviously it turned out pretty great too. So
well, that would be my honorable mention, because the Riff Raff, How to Be the Man. Yeah, that was nice by Justice for sure. What about you, Ro?
Yeah, I don't know if I got a favorite player intro, but
okay,
thinking back to CTC over the years, the one thing that I kept coming back to was seeing Okafor for the first time. Just seeing him on a Duke court with Duke players, we hadn't been able to land an elite big man for years. We'd missed out on Greg Monroe, Patrick Patterson, etc. We'd even been kind of mocked by them.
Yeah.
So landing Okafor was a huge thing for us and for me kind of personally. And then just seeing him out there, and I believe in that game, he just completely dominated. Yep. And it was like, oh, this guy's for real, you know, because you never know, no matter how many highlight tapes you watch of somebody, you never know whether it's actually going to translate to college.
Yeah.
You know, even if he's ranked number one, number two, whatever. And just, I think he had like 29 points in like a 20-minute scrimmage or something ridiculous. Yeah. You know, maybe that's not right, but it was really impressive.
And it felt like it, at least. Yeah,
right. And he's you know, doing these turnaround fadeaway kind of Tim Duncan shots off the backboard. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so that's the one that I came back to.
Okay. For me, and Smitty already mentioned Justice, somebody that's probably maybe forgotten in the Duke history, but I think it would have been 2016, because it was a sophomore year. He did end up transferring, but I don't know if you guys remember, the water bottle challenge was a thing, and Chase Jeter came out and had the whole team kind of coming out, dancing real slow with him. He had the water bottle, and as the beat dropped, he flipped it. It lands. The whole place goes ape shit. You know, all the crazies are going crazy, and the players run up and are giving them high fives. So I just thought, remember that as a standout moment. But like Smitty said, the guys that kind of play music, that's what that matches like their hometown. Like Joey Baker from Fayetteville famously played J. Cole. I think Jabari came out to some Kanye, you know, the Chicago thing. So those are the kind of things that I kind of look towards too. So I like that stuff.
I think
so,
Marshall came out and rode like a unicycle one year.
Marshall did the unicycle one year.
Shouts to Marshall.
Did he pick like a ridiculous song? I feel like he would have.
He did It's Tricky one year from Run DMC, because okay. I was like, okay, you normally don't get like old school hip hop. Like you get,
I like that though.
You know, Marvin Bagley, I think, played some old school Mace, like Feels So Good, which I was like,
right.
I don't even know if he was born when that came out, you know? Just coming off of that, if you guys, were a Duke basketball player, Josh, you're coming out of the tunnel for CTC intro. What are you playing?
Yeah, it's, to me, it's down to kind of two.
So let me put the caveat. So obviously we're older, so you can give me two. Give me, you know, you coming out of high school in 2005 or whatever, what would you have played then, or if you were coming out now, what would you have played?
Yeah, so coming out early 2000s, you know, I still went with a little bit older, not too much older at the time, but probably Next Episode by Dre, you know. Okay. Chronic 2001 came out. I rocked that for about, what year is it, 2022? So about 21 years I've been rocking that. So if it was back then, probably something off of that. If it's now, either What's the Use by Mac or probably Middle Child from J. Cole, just because I love the beat. I think the way it starts, that dun 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 dun, you know, and obviously repping the NC too. So it would be down to one of those two if I was coming out now, for sure.
Raul, am I going to put you on the spot here with this question?
Yeah, you know I'm not much of a hip hop head. And
well,
that's,
I mean, hey, if you want to come out to the Beatles, yeah, you come out to, you know,
right? That's what I'm going to come out to Come Together. How about that?
Okay. All right.
Never
at least it has like a team message, right?
Come together. That's true. Yeah, that's true.
That would give me a lot of cool points, right?
Come it's out got a sick song. Bass line too, so that would sound good on the
drum part. Yeah,
I mean, look, Brink came out to the Game of Thrones theme song, you know, so
ooh, you can do whatever you want. That was nice.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I like that.
You can do what you want. And I feel like Emil really missed an opportunity to come out to Lil Wayne. Emil.
Yeah, that would have been good.
Why
too.
Did you not do that, dude?
Yeah.
So for me, you know, I graduated high school in 02, but playing basketball, like one of my favorite hype things to listen to, just because he just the way rap gets you hyped up, would have been Tupac, Ambitions as a Rider, which he wrote, I believe, for Mike Tyson. That was like Mike Tyson's intro song. He wrote it for Mike Tyson when he was in prison. But if it was like today, it's probably a Mac, probably Blue Worlds by Mac.
Ooh, that's a strong one. Yeah. Ain't politics and ain't kissing no babies. Yeah, I like that.
The Blue World Without You, you know?
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to obviously CTC's next week, and that's really going to, you know, kick off the season. So it's right around the corner, and I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, it kind of sucks that, you know, Whitehead is not going to be available. Yeah. You know, there was an article, I think it came out today, by Steve Wiseman saying it's unlikely that he'll play in the first game. I still wouldn't worry as a fan. I don't think he's that far off, you know, just from seeing the way he's walking. And John, I believe at the press conference, didn't he say something about how they're bringing
John
him back
said
on
was
the court?
He said he was coming along well. I think that we won't see him just out of abundance of caution, you know, just.
My prediction is he misses the first two games.
Sure.
Yeah. No, I could see. Yeah. You know, I see him, you know, by November, you know, mid November, I would expect to see him back.
He's the kind of guy who would be fun to see at CTC, though. You know, you just get some nice lob dunks.
And he would just be ISOing up, you know, his dude just to kind of show it out. But let's talk about that a minute. So I guess, what do you think is going to be the biggest maybe surprise from CTC? And then we'll just kind of keep it simple. Who do you think is going to lead the team in scoring? I guess I'll drop it to you first.
The biggest surprise, it's going to be a toss-up between Proctor and Mitchell. I think those are – everybody's expecting stuff out of Lively, obviously, and Roach. And from everything we're hearing, Proctor's been unbelievable. Mitchell certainly has those flashes. He's got the size and the length to do whatever he wants. So I think it's going to come down to one of those two. As far as the leading scorer, I'm going to go with Jeremy just because these other guys are probably going to have a little nerves. Jeremy's played in here before, so I'll throw Roach as a safe bet for leading scorer with, I don't know, 16 points.
I'm going to go completely left field. It's going to be Jalen Blakes. It's going to be the leading scorer. He's just going
to definitely going to shoot it.
Yeah. Enough. And, you know, the defense isn't going to be good because it's, you know, a scrimmage. And so I think he's going to hit like four threes and get a couple layups.
Okay. Yeah. I'll go biggest surprise, kind of a cop out answer, but just because a lot of people haven't seen him, I'm going to go Tyrese Proctor, especially if he's matched up on the opposite team as Jeremy, where he's going to be the lead guard over there. Just what he can do in a pick and roll and how he operates within space and the change of speed game. I think that'll surprise a lot of people that aren't super familiar with him. I'm also going to go left field a little bit with the leading scorer. And I'm going to say it's going to be Jaden Shute, that he's just going to come out just draining threes. You know, he'll go five for six from three or just, you know, just volume threes. Might not translate, you know, across the full season, but, you know, I'll go ahead and throw that out there as a guy who's just going to, he's got the green light, I think.
I like that. Yeah.
I like the Proctor pick as a surprise, because I can see him getting some strips on Jeremy. He's just going to have a huge size advantage. And then I can see him throwing some like really nice lobs to Lively, because, you know, they're going to be highlight hunting a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I like that our scrimmage is kind of like a real game. Have you tried watching some of the other ones? Like,
It's awful.
Watching Kentucky is like watching the N1 mixtape tour, you know?
Yeah. Nah, but I could see Proctor too. Like, if they are going to run a lot of pick and roll, I could see him coming off a pick and roll and just hammering one at the rim. Yeah. And that's probably going to get a lot of people like, whoa, I didn't know he really had that. So, you know, we'll see.
What song will he come out to? Just since he's Australian, I think you can get something interesting there.
Well, you know, Jack White came to Men at Work, Land Down Under, which was
I forgot about that. Yeah, so there you go. There's a precedent for me doing something dorky. Maybe Come Together is too cool.
Well, didn't Buckmeyer and Nolan do the Carlton dance to something one year too?
So nice. So it'll be interesting to kind of see there.
I for sure would go humorous. That would be my angle.
Yeah. Yeah, so get the crowd Barbie going a
Girl
bit.
Bot. What was it? Aquaman.
Bobby? Aquaman.
I think it's just Aqua. Aquaman. Yeah, maybe it's Aqua. Jason Momoa.
Sorry. Hopefully they bring back some of the cooler stuff too, like the dunk contest or a 3-point skill. I'd like to see that a little bit. And, you know, I don't
understand why we don't have a 3-point contest. Like, we're three. You've had JJ Redick and Andre Dawkins and Luke Kennard and Brandon Ingram and all these. Like, give them a 3-point contest.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see the reasons for not doing the dunk contest every year. Like, some years you just don't have like really great dunkers. And then there's also the possibility of injury is higher on a dunk contest. But with like a 3-point contest, nobody's getting hurt.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just a fun thing to do. And we typically have, there'd be some teams you wouldn't want to do it with the 2019 team. Zion would have won that 3-point contest. But imagine a 3-point contest with like the 2014 team. I know I brought them up earlier, like 2006 with, you know, JJ, but I guess we weren't doing CTC back then.
No, I think it started like 09 or it's like the first year.
08 or 09, somewhere. Yeah. There. Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see. Always look forward to it's like the kickoff to the season, right? So the excitement level will be high. And obviously after we get to see the guys in action a little bit, we'll kind of react to it, break it down.
We'll be way too high on everybody.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 We'll be roster baiting. Like
Josh Hairston's going to be National Player of the Year.
Yeah. But sometimes you do see, like, you know, Raul mentioned in like Okafor. Now, you know, there were times when it wasn't super viable, but the dude was just steady rock for us all year. I saw Kyrie in person at CTC, it was like, God, just how he's splitting like pick and roll. And obviously we haven't been great at guarding pick and roll, but we could have been the best team in the nation and it wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah, I remember he had one coast to coast. He had one of his vintage, you know, the classic Kyrie coast to coast where it's just a one man fast break.
And it's just the nice, like, beautiful scoop that he was able to do, just the way he's able to just pick it off there. So, you know, maybe we'll see some stuff like that. But either way, you know, we want to just again shout out John Watson and the Devil's Den for hooking us up, sending us out to Media Day. Go check those guys out on the board, thedevilsden.com. Think they're going to get a write up about that. You know, email us at thedevilsdenpod@gmail.com. Rate, review, subscribe, all that good stuff. Shout out to Brandon Marks too, again, for coming on the pod. If you haven't listened to that, go check that out, and for kind of hooking us up at Media Day. But in the meantime, you know, keep the faces strong and the verve high. Go Duke.